It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Our exciting adventures and boldest endeavors have not yet begun. My fellow Americans, for our movement, for our children, and for our beloved country, and I say this, despite all that's happened, the best is yet to come. So we're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol, and we're going to try and give, you know, the Democrats are hopeless. They're never voting for anything, not even one vote. But we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much.
All right. Good morning. And that was your president last Wednesday. That's the last thing he said to that massive crowd in Washington of his supporters. That's the last thing he said before they, many of them, marched or moved or walked, to the Capitol. That was the remarks that are described in the articles of impeachment. Something like this. Hang on just one second. It's the exact words of this. Okay. Incitement, they're charging him in the articles of impeachment with the incitement of insurrection. He willfully made statements that, in context, encouraged and foreseeably resulted in lawless action at the Capitol. Members of the crowd he had addressed in an attempt to, among other objectives, interfere with the joint session's solemn constitutional duty to certify the results of the 2020 presidential election, unlawfully breached and vandalized the Capitol, injured and killed law enforcement personnel, menaced members of Congress, the vice president, congressional personnel, and engaged in other violent, deadly, destructive, and seditious acts. Those are the articles of impeachment against the president. What he said, I think let's listen to it again because that's so serious. You should know what your president said to warrant impeachment. Let's listen again.
Our exciting adventures and boldest endeavors have not yet begun. My fellow Americans, for our movement, for our children, and for our beloved country, and I say this, despite all that's happened, the best is yet to come. So we're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol, and we're going to try and give, you know, the Democrats are hopeless. They're never voting for anything. Not even one vote. But we're going to try and give our Republicans, the weak ones, because the strong ones don't need any of our help. We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to thank you all. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. This is incredible. Thank you very much.
I thought you should hear it because that's it. You know, they're not playing that. In fact, someone asked on the left, well, why don't we play that over and over again, having not heard it? Why don't we play the remarks that the president made? We should be playing that so people will understand why we're impeaching him. Well, that's the reason they're not playing it over and over again, because that's just untethered from reality to call that impeachment worthy. And yet they're going to do it. They're going to be voting on Wednesday night, the House will have enough votes to impeach the president. I think the most legal scholars say it's not going to happen because of just sheer timing. Even if there were enough Republicans in the Senate that would go along with this, and certainly they'd feel pressured to, wouldn't they? So many are caving. Why not cave? You know, why not cave too? Because, you know, there's hell to pay if you don't. And I'm going to get into that just a little bit. But even if they had the votes, they don't have the time. The vote cannot, by the calendar, come up until after Joe Biden is inaugurated on January the 20th. And then President Trump won't be president anymore. So it really is kind of odd. But there's another way of doing it. So they're working on this, the 25th Amendment. They're asking Vice President Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump. And, of course, that means the cabinet, most of the cabinet, and Vice President Pence have to introduce this. And it basically says that the president is unfit for office. He can't, you know, there's something wrong. He has to be removed. So they tried to bring that up yesterday. And Alex Mooney, the Republican from West Virginia, you might remember, Alex really, honestly, got lambasted by President Trump for trying to stop one of those incredibly huge, irresponsible, irrational spending bills. This is at least a year ago. I wish I could remember more of the details, but Alex stood alone and stopped it, and President Trump just lambasted him for that. Nevertheless, Alex stood up, and what he did was he blocked the Democrats from introducing a resolution via unanimous consent to call on Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump. And this is what Alex Mooney said, a Vice Republican from West Virginia. Those of you from West Virginia should be very proud of him because that took courage. And this is what he said. Pelosi should not attempt to adopt a resolution of this magnitude without any debate on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. It is wrong to have sent members of Congress home. They're home. And then try to adopt without any debate or precedent-setting resolution that could imperil our republic. The U.S. House must never adopt a resolution that demands the removal of a duly elected president without any hearings, debate, or recorded votes. All right, so they prevail, but they're going to bring it up again, as I understand it, from a friend that's right there in the middle of all of this. They're going to bring it to a vote again on Tuesday night and the articles of impeachment on the floor on Wednesday. All right, so that's what's happening in your House of Representatives. Meanwhile, as the Daily Signal said, the Great Purge has begun. And where it stops, nobody really knows. We are in an unprecedented time of censorship and speech control and retributions. And I will see if I can give you just a few ideas about this. We know already, I'm going to tell you in more detail because we're going to have a guest in a second on the social media purging, but they're going after people. Let's see. They are asking for retributions. Project Lincoln, the Lincoln Project, you know, the ones that are never Trumpers, are saying that they're constructing a database of Trump officials and staff that will detail their roles in the Trump administration and track where they are now. And they will be held accountable and not allowed to pretend they were not involved. Forbes, their chief content officer, has warned against hiring Kayleigh McEnany or any other prominent Trump flacks. Hire any of Trump's fellow fabulists above, and Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. The editor of Forbes magazine said, there would be a truth reckoning for companies that hire or do business with former Trump staffers. But that's not all. Let's see. Remember that on Twitter, now we're going to talk about the social media purge, which you already know quite a bit about. But, you know, Twitter, in case you didn't know, allows the Chinese Communist Party, Venezuela's communist dictator Nicolas Maduro, the Ayatollah of Iran, they all have a platform on Twitter. None of them have been purged, just so you know. Mozilla, see, you use Mozilla, anybody? That's that flaming thing. I used to use that. The CEO, Mitchell Baker, is announcing that deplatforming people from his services isn't enough. That change requires more than just the temporary silencing or permanent removal of bad actors. So they're making plans. And, of course, last year, the media coverage was very sympathetic toward all those looting and rioters There was even a book about looting and how looting could be good, and Amazon had no problem with that, nor did any of the others. So there's a lot more to say about that. In fact, I wanted to tell you, I have a list, and maybe I'll get to it, but banks are refusing to serve now. Many of the Trump's supporters, it's going to come down to us too. Bank of America hasn't weighed in yet, but all the other major ones have, and I'll read that list in a bit. Pay services, it's just massive. They're rushing. It's called virtue signaling. That's kind of a nice name for it, isn't it? But it's a making sure you know that that particular entity or business is, you know, they're not down with those riots at the Capitol. Well, nobody's down with the riots, if you want to call it that, at the Capitol. I guess you could call it that easily, but the question is who was rioting. But because they have no concern about the riots that took place in Seattle and Portland and New York City and Minneapolis, none whatsoever. In fact, let me just tell you that Antifa just yesterday or over the weekend put on riot gear. Black Lives Matter also marched in New York City. And they marched down the street and they chanted, who's in blank, blank streets? Our blank, blank streets. And what's that noise? Blank the Proud Boys. And then it kept growing bigger and bigger as they walked down the streets of New York City. Black Lives Matter activist Joshua Potash also captured videos. He showed the march. Social media journalist Tara Spetsansky said she was assaulted. And there was a video of her being assaulted. One sprayed her with chemical string. Another one struck her with a skateboard. The people in the crowd were saying, she's a blanking Nazi. She supports Trump. Why are you protecting her? And then the man hit her in the skateboard. Second video shows her being hit by an egg. She went to the police and tried to get help. They told her to stand six feet away from them, and then they just let her be attacked. Okay, so that's in New York, but that's okay. That's okay. That's a good thing because Black Lives Matter and Antifa deserve protections that the rest of us don't have. I know the FBI is gearing up for some protests being announced in Washington right now, some armed protests around the country in a lot of the state capitals, 50 of them, and they're very concerned about this. They're busily arresting people that were on the Capitol last Wednesday. One guy was a lieutenant colonel, I believe, in the Air Force, and his wife saw his picture, ex-wife, and she reported him. By the way, the outgoing chief of Capitol Police, who resigned. I heard he was fired, but he resigned. And he said this, the House and Senate security officials rejected or slow-walked multiple requests by the agency to call in the National Guard. Sun told the Washington Post in an interview on January the 12th, it was published January 12th, in the days leading up to January 6th, he asked six different times that they please bring in the National Guard. The House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving said he wasn't comfortable with how a declaration of emergency would be received. We knew it would be bigger. We looked at the intelligence. We knew we would have large crowds, the potential for some violent altercations. I had nothing indicating we would have a large mob seize the Capitol. But according to him, the Sergeant-at-Arms didn't want that, and neither did Muriel Bowser. I read to you a letter yesterday of her saying, no, we don't need all of that. And so I also read that some Capitol police were seen posing with the Trump supporters, who actual Trump supporters, probably not the Antifa part of that protest in the Capitol. And they've been fired. Others, you know, one of them put on a MAGA hat. He's been fired. The guy that was killed, I told you yesterday, there's some question. There was only one policeman that was actually killed in the altercation, according to reports. Now, they're saying others, but it was medical situations. The one girl that was killed by Capitol Police, or someone working in the Capitol. So, look, it was a terrible thing, but it's just being distorted and, of course, treated very differently than what Antifa and Black Lives Matter has done for months, really, over a year, 2 years in this country. This is our new reality. But coming up next, we're going to talk about what's happening with social media, because that certainly affects each and every one of us right now. So I hope you'll stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's some great News. If you miss the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
Whether you like it or not, big tech has every right to decide what information you receive on their platforms. They have a right to determine who gets a platform and who does not. They get to determine who has a voice and who is silenced. But what they do not have a right to is special protections provided by the federal government. Unfortunately, Republican leadership in the House and Senate squandered any opportunity of us righting this offensive wrong. Now, it's not the first time in world history that authors and artists and political pundits have been silenced. Look no further than 1930s Germany to see what happens when your ideology clashes with the ruling class. If you are a follower of Almighty God, you need to prepare for the coming days. But as Christians, we must also be courageous, knowing that light dispels darkness, and one day, morning will return to America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The effect of this is that there is no longer a free and open social media company or site for any American to get on any longer. Because these big companies, Apple, Amazon, Google, they have just destroyed what was likely Parler's $1 billion company. Poof, it's gone. But it's more than just the financial aspect to that. Republicans have no way to communicate. It doesn't even matter if you're Republican or conservative. If you don't want to be regulated by left-wingers that are at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where you get shadow banned, nobody gets to see you, they get to decide what's violent or not violent, it's preposterous. So I don't know where the Department of Justice is at right now, or the FBI. This is clearly a violation of antitrust, civil rights, the RICO statute. There should be a racketeering investigation on all the people that coordinated this attack on not only a company, but on all of those like us, like me, like you, Maria. I have 3 million followers on Parler. Tonight, I will no longer be able to communicate with those people. And they're Americans. And by the way, unlike the fake social media sites, we know that everybody that's on Parler, because you get certified, there's a number. It's actually a very, very safe platform. And if you break the law on Parler, the FBI can subpoena to find out who those people are. If you break crimes on Facebook and Twitter, good luck. Good luck trying to find out who they are. So Parler has went above and beyond. It's one of the reasons why I didn't go to Parler, 8 months ago, because it was a Republican platform. I didn't know if it was Republican or not. I went there because I knew that I could express my thoughts freely, and that I knew that the list, as I post something, was going to be there, and that Facebook and Twitter weren't going to be manipulating it.
All right, that was Congressman Devin Nunes with Maria Bartiromo on Sunday Morning Future. Sandy Rios back with you. Just to give you the breadth of what's happening in social media, we have Reddit, who's banned, I'm going to do this quickly, so I won't do the details. Reddit has banned a subgroup of Donald Trump followers, Twitch, Shopify. We know Twitter, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, and it goes on. I mean, who knew there were so many? But they're rapidly, circling the wagons and shutting down conservative voices. Last night, Parler found another place for web hosting services. We'll talk about that in a bit. Facebook is blacklisting all content mentioning Stop the Steal. Twitter shares, by the way, have dropped by 12% after that company banned Trump. And Twitter has suspended the account of Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton. Okay, so those are kind of headlines that we can talk about. My guest is Rick Manning. He is the president of Americans for Limited Government. And Rick is all over this. And so I wanted to be sure and ask him to join us this morning. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sandy. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm okay, all things considered, only because I trust God, but otherwise I'd be in despair. I'm not, though. I'm not in despair. So, Rick, give us the context of this. Devin Nunes just did a pretty darn good job of that, but what else would you add to giving context to people about what this means to us, maybe, to those of us, to regular citizens? What does it mean?
Well, let me start out. It was interesting because you had a piece by Todd Starnes that ran right before the Devin Nunes clip. And Todd Starnes made the assertion that since Facebook owns the platform, since Twitter owns the platform, since Google owns the platform, they can do whatever they want. And too bad for anybody who doesn't like it. He talks about the Section 230 and stuff, which is essentially not allowing these companies to be able to be free of liability for property that's intellectual property that is used on their platforms, because its point is given to them because they weren't supposed to be edited platforms, and as a result they were, but they've obviously violated that essence, that essential capacity. I would argue that Todd Starnes is wrong. And Devin Nunes mentioned the various things related to antitrust and RICO, but I'm going to just go more to a philosophical level and a legal level. People like, I'll give you an example. Americans for Limited Government has invested significant dollars into Parler to build a following in Parler. And we did that, with that company, knowing full well that before that, we'd invested significant dollars into Facebook to build a following Facebook. The contract we had with Facebook was that the people who followed us would get the information that we put out. That was the contract. That was what was supposed to happen. Facebook made a decision not to break that contract and to effectively make it so that people didn't get the information that we put out. And proof of that is simple. In 2016, we had 130,000 followers. See, that was pre-Donald Trump being president. We have spent 4 years putting money into Facebook to reach people and the like, and yet our number of followers has gone down by 6,000 followers. And that's in a world where we are supporting Donald Trump, where the people who follow us and where we've marketed directly to Donald Trump supporters, and yet somehow we have not, our presence on the platform hasn't grown at all. I would argue that Facebook has broken contract, and in fact they have, and as a result they have, they've basically broken their word as it related to being a free and open platform, because they have effectively not allowed alternative voices to be heard for much longer than now their overt shutting down of opportunity to use the platform by certain people, including President Trump. That is a violation of the law. It's a violation of they're taking my money under false pretenses. And as a result, I think that it's actionable, number one. But number two, I think under the law they have violated Section 230 already, and action should be taken. And number three, I think because they're shutting down and anti-competitive activity, they are in violation of the antitrust laws that Devin Nunes talked about. And while the U.S. Department of Justice may or may not have the capacity to do anything, and certainly under a Biden administration, they're not going to do anything. And while Congress chose not to do anything because of the exact argument that Todd Starnes mentioned, which was wrong, I think that states have and state AGs have an opportunity to go after the Facebooks, Twitters, and Googles and Amazons of the world, because the bottom line is, you want to talk about anti-competitive activity, what they did with Parler is they said the following. They said, we do not like your content. But rather than taking the argument that if you sit there and say, you don't like what Twitter's doing, you like Facebook's doing, go ahead and form your own company and compete with them. That's what somebody did. And yet, the Silicon Valley Titans decided to shut that platform down, using both attacking the ability for people to access the platform through apps and by taking away their underlying ability to have the server farm that they're placed on, the neutral server farm, which is what Amazon Web Services is.
Rick, let me jump in for a second. Of course, people don't know history. You know that. This is what happened at the turn of the century, around the 1900s in this country, early 1900s. We had these companies that had just been so successful. There's some great success stories like Standard Oil and the Rockefellers. I'm not even sure they are Standard Oil, but other companies. Yes, and there was such a monopoly, and then they controlled all the prices, and they controlled the flow of oil and gasoline to people, and they could charge what they wanted. They could intimidate their competitors, and they were. There were antitrust suits that were filed and broke the companies up. And that's really what you're saying, that on a business model, this is reprehensible. Rick, before you answer me, if there's anything you can do to get closer to the mic or something, it would really help. It's a little trouble. Hearing you this morning. Thank you. All right, so back into the content here. So that's what you're saying that is the problem here with these social media companies right now.
Exactly right. That is exactly what the problem is. They have basically taken the law has dealt with this before. There's and as a result, the laws are in place for it to be done. And there was a debate at the beginning of the Trump administration. Steve Bannon was urging that the tech companies be put under basically turned into public utilities, the way what happened to the water companies, electric companies back in between 1910 and 1930, all across the country. I thought that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and I opposed it vigorously. The reason, because I didn't want the federal government to control these companies as a public utility, because that would effectively block all competition from coming in, which is what public utilities do. Instead, the only answer, even back then, was to engage in antitrust activity and to take them on as through antitrust laws. And this was presented to the U.S. Department of Justice over 3 years ago as something that needed to be done. And unfortunately, the decision was made not to pursue it. Well, now we see what's going on. The other piece of this that people don't realize is the United States government actually invented internet through a Defense Department, and maintained control in a simple way, and that was they did not have the .com, .org at the bottom, at the back end, .net, all those different dots we have at the back of our various internet URLs. Those things were assigned by something called ICANN, which was a subcontractor to the U.S. government. Yep. To do that, because the U.S. government controlled that. Under Obama, that was eliminated, and ICANN became a private entity, controlled that as a private entity rather than have the federal government control it.
An international entity, right?
Pardon?
An international entity, too, not
an
American.
International entity,
yes,
yes, ma'am. It's an international entity, registered as a C3, by the way, a foundation here in the United States. But in doing that, there would have been a legal claim on a First Amendment basis if the U.S. maintained control of the .com.org, because you make an argument that they were that because they were using U.S. government property, which is the .com, they would in fact be liable for not allowing First Amendment rights to be held on their platforms. But because under Obama that was gotten rid of, these companies became emboldened to act even more directly and against the basic First Amendment protections people think they had. And as a result, the First Amendment claim, in some respects, went away. And that was a direct result of action that American Civil Liberties Government fought 5 years ago. Congress defunded the giveaway 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the last gasp of the Obama administration, yep. Congress let him give it away. It was just a disaster that they did it.
Hey, Rick, on the heels of that discussion, that makes me think of, overnight, Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, weighed in against the removal of President Trump from Twitter and these various platforms. And so did one of the ministers of France. But in reading that, of course, I'm glad they said that shouldn't be done by a private company. But their solution is that government should control speech, that private companies should not. So it was kind of a half-full response. So I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I read that also, and it's one of the reasons, going back way back when, what's happened is the United Nations wants to have control of this function and have a piece of the internet, and those like China wants that to occur. You have Iran and others who block anybody from using the internet on their URL in their country through various means. Now Germany and France have come in, weighed in, and said they want to have control of the private government control. Ultimately, what government control means in any of this is absolute censorship of alternative ideas. And old idea, the irony on the Twitter stuff is Twitter billed itself for 10 years as being essentially the tool of the revolution, right? And they always prided themselves on how people were organizing on Twitter and various places. The whole Arab Street went aflame. They were all using Twitter, and Twitter was very proud of the fact that it gave a voice to the people who had no voice. And now Twitter has become nothing more than one guy, and Jack Dorsey, one guy's view of what the world should be like, and nobody else can use it for that voice. So ultimately, the big lie from Twitter and from a lot of these guys was that they were egalitarian when they really were totalitarian.
Yes.
And supported certain violent movements around the world to put into totalitarian states against movements that were for free and open societies. And that's the ultimate irony, is as we found with a lot of the left, if you take what they actually say and you put it in reverse and look at it backwards, that's what they actually mean. And with these various attacks on Parler and other people, the deplatforming of the President of the United States is so outrageous, it's almost unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
But it's the most predictable thing in history.
Yes. Well, Rick, we barely touched the surface of all of this, but we're going to put your action item on our Facebook page. Americans for Limited Government is asking us to urge the Justice Department and state attorneys general to take immediate antitrust action against Amazon, Apple, and Google. And while we still have some structure in place, I think he's absolutely right. So we'll put that on our Facebook page. Americans for Limited Government is a great resource for information. Rick has just got a ton of wisdom and understands so much of what's happening in this nation. So I encourage you to start looking at, you'll have to probably go directly to him, because pretty soon we'll be all off, unsearchable. Americans for Limited Government, Rick Manning. Rick, thanks so much for your time this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
John Darnell's article, Learning from the Master Fisherman, he really starts off with sort of an anecdote of taking his daughter fishing.
Engage Magazine's Jordan Chambly.
He was being patient and teaching her, no, this is the proper way to do it. And he applies that idea to missions and to evangelism and discipleship.
Learning from the Master Fisherman in the Engage biannual fall magazine. Visit engagemagazine.net and click on Magazine for your copy.
Sin will keep you from the Word of God, or the Word of God will keep you from sin. Even when you're not doing everything you know is right, stay in this book, because that's the best chance you have to keep growing and moving forward. The Word of God will produce spiritual growth in your life. That's why you ought to read it.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Life God Blesses, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A generation has been taught they descend from animals, that there is no God. They've been taught they are nothing more than a cosmic accident. They have no purpose, and life has no meaning. Life's meaninglessness has been punctuated for them by the 60 million children who've been slaughtered in the womb and counting. But society is shocked when they act out exactly as they have been taught, like animals with no conscience. Respect for human life begins with respect for the life giver. America needs repentance.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. The First Amendment guarantees to every individual American the right to freedom of speech. But regressives in America could care less about freedom of speech or any other part of the Constitution. Twitter has banned President Trump from its platform, as has Facebook. The unholy trinity of Google, Amazon, and Apple has destroyed Parler, the conservative alternative to Twitter. And Nancy Pelosi is determined to impeach Trump a second time just to keep him from running in 2024. This is classic tyrannical Marxism to keep conservatives from speaking or holding office. These are not the days for the summer patriot and the sunshine soldier. We must not shrink back. Instead, we must put on the full armor of God and prepare to engage the Prince of Darkness on the field of spiritual battle.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Among President Trump's most important legacies is depriving the Chinese Communist Party of U.S. investors' continued underwriting of its military-industrial complex. Unfortunately, that legacy is being seriously jeopardized by what is nominally the Trump Treasury Department. The huge impact of the executive order Mr. Trump issued in November is evident in the fact that Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has worked tirelessly to undermine it ever since. He'll do that again during a cabinet-level meeting this afternoon. Mnuchin's objective is ensuring that his and Communist China's old friends on Wall Street can continue investing in Beijing's threatening military companies until after the Biden administration comes to power. The Treasury Secretary must not be permitted to get away with sabotaging President Trump and his legacy of decisively countering the Chinese Communist Party, thereby intensifying the danger it represents to the rest of us. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios, back with you. I always tell you, I do kind of in general, I feel that when it's life and death, those stories deserve the most underscoring. And yet these are kind of deaths that we don't think enough about, and that's abortion. We have 860,000 in the United States every year, and I have to tell you, that is about to increase. I guarantee you, all the pro-life protections that Donald Trump has through his agencies, through Health and Human Services, and other ways that they've been working and working and working to institute policies that would save unborn babies will be rolled back. So we know that because Kamala Harris loves abortion and she is a great defender of Planned Parenthood. She's the one that went after David Dalyden, the young guy who went underground to expose Planned Parenthood for selling baby body parts. She's the prosecutor in California that went after him with a vengeance. So that really is our future. So with that in mind, you know, we kind of need to do stuff while we can. Preborn is a great ministry that American Family Radio partners with. And what they do is they work with Christian pregnancy centers to provide ultrasounds. And what ultrasounds do, as you probably all know, but if you don't, this was really a game changer for the pro-life movement when they developed 4D ultrasound. And expectant moms for the first time could actually really see their babies clearly. And it was when young girls, women of whatever size, shape, or condition, or life circumstance, saw that, they began to not choose abortion. And that's why the left hates it. That's why the abortionists, the people who believe that abortion is their sacred sacrament, everything else can fall, but please do not take away abortion. That's the thing over which I think they would die. And so, but Preborn is right in the center of that, doing great work. And they're giving crisis, again, Christian pregnancy centers around the country these services. So if you would like to help them do that, $28 will provide one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. And $140, of course, gives five ultrasounds. And you can do the math. I know you can. So $28 is kind of like a hallmark. One, that's one ultrasound. And whatever multiple of that, and of course, this just for example purposes, you can give whatever, you can give even numbers. I know you can. But if you would like to do this, it'd be something good to do today, wouldn't it? Something you can actually do that's really good. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396 to make your donation, or you can donate online if you don't want to call. Because heaven knows we don't want to talk to people anymore, do we? I'm one of the worst. Anyway, you can donate online to afr.net. All right, so it's not, of course, I didn't tell you the rest of this. I found this article. I wanted to show you. Wall Street banks are freezing political donations to any congressman or senator who were pushing for trying to make sure the votes were cast properly, or the votes that were cast or counted were legal votes. So they're going after those people because that's a horrible thing to do, you know, to make sure that there was integrity in the voting process. So J.P. Morgan Chase has announced that it's halting donations through its PAC for 6 months. Citigroup also, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. It's considering withdrawing support for any politicians who voted against certifying Joe Biden's Electoral College win. Bank of America and Wells Fargo are still thinking, but we think they're likely to go along with that also. And so where does that leave senators like Hawley and Cruz and all those good congressmen? Now, you think Joe Biden he's a good old guy, Joe, right? He's just a nice guy. He's been calling for unity, right? He's just he's really concerned about the company, but a country. So I wanted you to hear out of his own lips what he said just while he's calling for unity. This was the other side of his message. This is clip 11.
Do you think some of them should resign? Should Senator Cruz or Senator Hawley resign?
I think they should be just flat beaten the next time they run. I think the American public has a real good, clear look at who they are. They're part of the big lie. The big lie. I was being reminded by a friend of mine, and maybe you were with me, I can't recall, when we were told that, you know, Goebbels and the great lie, you keep repeating the lie, repeating the lie. Well, there was a print that when Dresden was bombed, firebombed, there were 250 people that were killed, or was it 2,500 people were killed? And Goebbels said, no, 25,000 or 250,000 were killed. And our papers printed that. Our papers printed it. It's the big lie. People will know. It's one thing for one man, one woman, to repeat the lie over and over and over again. By the way, Trump said that before he ran. If you say it enough, I'm going to convince you. I'll say it enough. The press is bad. The press is bad. The press is bad. The press is bad. If he's the only one saying it, that's one thing. But the acolytes that follow him, like Cruz and others, they are as responsible as he is. And so it's not about whether or not they get impeached. It's about whether or not they help, can continue to hold power because of the disgust the American people have for their actions. There are decent people out there who actually believe these lies because they've heard it again and again. I was with a friend of mine who's a medical doctor telling me that his neighbor said to him, he lives in another state, his neighbor's a good person, said, but you know, doc, this is true. There's a lot of chicanery that went on in this election. He said, tell me what. Well, I just know there was. They say it is. This is a human condition. You say it and say it and say it and say it. The degree to which it becomes corrosive is in direct proportion to the number of people who say it. And so it's interesting to me, and I was pleased to hear more prominent Republicans say to me that the Ted Cruz's of the world are as responsible in terms of people believing the lies as, not as responsible, but similarly responsible like Trump. But they didn't say, go to the Capitol, I'll be with you, follow. That's a different story. Thank you.
So wait a second. I thought he said more explicitly, unless that clip was cut off. He said Hawley and Cruz. Yeah, he did. I know he said this. So I'm going to read to you what he did say. He compares Hawley and Cruz to ministry propagandist Joseph Goebbels. That's the Nazi ministry. And says that they are as much a part to the big lie as Trump himself. The big lie, of course, is exactly what he said. Without my cynical laughter, you do understand that this has been what's been happening to us, I would say, since Barack Obama became president. We were told lies. I guarantee you we were told lies. It was one big facade. It was a glossy photo with airbrushed photos. Metaphorically, everything was airbrushed, and whatever they said was true was the opposite of what was true, over and over and over again. And so, of course, that's what they've been doing. They understand that tactic. The left has been using it. Joe Biden's a big part of it because he's a big liar. He's practiced at this. And so the difference is, of course, when President Trump said the press is bad, it is bad. I don't know of any person who really has a heart or a discernment for truth will not understand that the press has done tremendous damage to this country by twisting information, omitting information, not actually giving the news, but becoming a machine of propaganda themselves. That's exactly what's happened. So Joe's response and the left's response is to accuse. That's what they always do. This is a great, it's a great tool. In fact, if you're in an argument, you'll find a lot of people will argue with you, and then they will turn, when they feel they're losing, they'll turn on you and accuse you. Even your spouse might do this, accuse you of doing what they just did. That's kind of a psychological tool, and it's very effective. So that's what he's doing. But the insidiousness of comparing Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley to Joseph Goebbels, who participated in the murder of millions of people. It's just, I just want you to stop and think about what he just said. Joe, by the way, the name of his inauguration theme will be Americans United. Meanwhile, I could play you any number of clips because I haven't played much of him lately because I just didn't want to hear it. But it's now time for you to know who your commander-in-chief is. So he is, he's going after Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz because they simply ask for there to be a commission for 10 days to please study the evidence. No court had actually looked at the evidence of voter fraud. Not a single court. Not the Supreme Court, not the district courts, not the federal courts, none of them. They always said no based on some technicality. They did not look at the evidence. And they were asking, could we have a congressional focus on this? Let's look at the evidence. But because of that, they are like Joseph Goebbels, a Nazi. So Ted Cruz responded in a tweet. He said, well, so far he's still tweeting here. Really sad. At a time of deep national division, President-elect Biden's choice to call his political opponents literal Nazis does nothing to bring us together or promote healing. So, but of course, he's not the only one expressing things that might be not unifying, shall we say. Nancy Pelosi just a few days ago, maybe over the weekend, did an interview, and this is how she characterized the president of the United States. This is in clip 20.
Sadly, the person who's running the executive branch is a deranged, unhinged, dangerous president of the United States. And only a number of days until we can be protected from him. But he has done something so serious that there should be prosecution against him.
So there will be, because she is the prosecutor. And by the way, I read this morning that Andrew McCabe is in the process of applying to be the prosecutor who will lead the charge against President Trump. The lying, fired, disgraceful, leaking head of the FBI who colluded in lying about Russia and the phony, that's too kind, that made-up dossier that was so ridiculous that they used to hound President Trump for years. He was the leader of the pack on covering that up. He was an FBI agent, but not compelled, he loved big lies, and so he cooperated. But so now he wants to be the prosecutor. Isn't that lovely? It's quite ironic. So meanwhile, on January 20th, there will be an inauguration. Of course, it's going to be America United. Yeah, so the president has approved emergency declaration in Washington. Muriel Bowser asked for that. She had a whole long reason for doing that, so President Trump said okay. But I found it interesting that Muriel Bowser did not find any need to call out troops. In fact, she didn't want them when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were rioting in the streets of Washington. Do you remember that? They were attacking police officers. They tried to burn down St. John's across from the White House. They destroyed property, and then Black Lives Matter spray painted in huge letters their logo on, and Occupy took over a whole section of a street of Washington, D.C., and that was okay. No one was called out because, the mayor of Baltimore said a year or so ago, you have to give them room. You have to give them room to loot and riot because, after all, they've been so mistreated, they should be able to hurt people and destroy property without being punished. And so that's how it's been treated before. If you don't think that's true, listen to Joe Biden. This is what he said after Antifa riots. This would be clip 9 from yesterday.
But we have to come together as a country. Let's begin that work to heal and unite. To heal and unite America.
It really is time to leave the anger and bitter politics of division behind us.
That's what he said about the Antifa riots. A little different attitude, don't you? Did he say that they were fascists, that they were Nazis, that they were anarchists, that they were wicked, that they should be stopped? No, we had to leave this behind, all that, rioting in the streets of Portland and taking over. And, maybe I'm sure he feels that way about Antifa and Black Lives Matter marching down the streets of New York City over the weekend. Saying that those are their blanking streets. Nothing to say about that. Nothing. Nancy Pelosi either. But no, President Trump, Donald Trump is our great enemy. He must be destroyed. And those of us that are associated with him, we must be destroyed also. That's coming. President told us that he was standing. He was the target, but he was trying to protect all of us. And he was right about that. That was the truth. But because he speaks the truth, that's the thing. When somebody speaks the truth, when there's totalitarianism, they must be destroyed. It's been, I could tell you story after story, but about how people just were committed to the truth, and they, one person speaking the truth is a tremendous threat to big lies. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.